welcome everybody this morning. Appreciate our children. Everybody's made an effort to get them here, and we're just thankful for another day that the Lord's blessed us with. And, we got a great crowd this morning, and again, I appreciate everybody making an effort to get here. I know I'm not there anymore, but it's an effort to get these little ones here on a Sunday morning sometimes, and I appreciate it. But we look forward to having a great day in the Lord, and we just pray that the Lord will be moving powerful this morning. We can all get in our spots and do everything He's asked of us. And I'm going to ask Brother Drew to dismiss this Sunday school.
Good morning, everybody. Sure, everybody already knows and understands, because everybody says it all the time, but I certainly desire your prayers. My wife gets tired of hearing it, but every week I say, boy, I'm not looking forward to this lesson. I told her the other day, yesterday, the man part of me is just really dreading Sunday school in the morning, but the spirit part of me looking forward to it. I told these guys sitting there a minute ago, if I could share with you guys what God has opened up to me in this lesson during the week of studying it, we'd be here for 3 hours. But sometimes I feel like me getting up here to teach is more for me to sit at home and study the book than it is for the result of me getting up here in front of everybody and doing this. But our lesson's in Psalms again, which Psalms has always been a hard book for me, and I don't know if it's just because of my own personal attitude or just because I've never really tried hard enough to get into it and learn anything from it. And being a person that's always tried to be a singer, you would think Psalms would be easy for me, because it's songs. It's songs dedicated to God in one way, shape, or form or another. But sometimes, and I like the way Blaine kind of sets things up at the beginning, if you go back in time and you realize what's going on in the general area of whoever wrote the book, it kind of puts things into a little better perspective. So you can kind of see what their attitude and their thought process was while they were writing this. I have read enough to know that from Psalms 146 to Psalms 150, that's the last five books of Psalms. And all five of those books are songs of praise. And from what I've read, none of them have any petition to God for help or for guidance or for anything whatsoever. They're just songs of praise, praising God. And I've thought over the week, that's where we need to live, is in a place where we can just praise God. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what's going on in the world around us, if we've been saved, we've got a reason to get up every morning and praise God. That's all this life is about. This life is a staging area, if you look at it that way. It's a place to get ready for what's coming next. And if we've got what we come to get, or what God presented to us, to offer us, it's a good day. Every day, to get up and praise God. And the one thing I thought about, kind of encompasses the whole thing, is if we get up and praise God, there's a spot in here where David tells everybody, come on and praise God. If we get up and we praise God with our life, the way we are instructed to and the way God leads us, people around us will notice that we're praising God in everything that we do. And they'll want to know what that's about. And that's really what we're here for. If we've been saved and we're still here, we've got a job to do to show people around us what God's all about. But anyways, we'll go ahead and read some of this. Psalms 146 has 10 verses, and Psalms 150 has 6. But we'll start in 146, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. I read a commentary about this chapter. And one of the things the guy said that I thought was real interesting, where it says, I will sing praises unto God while I have any being. One way to look at that is, at the end of this life, there's a part of this being that's going to move on to another world. And as long as I have this being, I'll be praising God. So even after we get to heaven, for eternity, we'll be praising God with the part of us that knows what praising God really means. It says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Right now, we've got a lot of people fussing and feuding and throwing darts back and forth over this election we just had. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. It doesn't matter what you think is right or wrong. It doesn't matter who gets in that office up there. If we continue to praise God, it'll be all right. Everything will be all right. Like the song Linda said, Cindy posted it on Facebook the other day, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Doesn't matter who wins the election. It doesn't matter what my boss does at work. None of that matters except serving God. Put not your trust in princes nor the Son of Man. They can't help you. Trump just won the election. He can't go in there and make everybody believe in God. Even if he was the kind of man that stood for God in everything he did. Not saying anything about him in that aspect, because I don't know him. But even if he was a strong for God stand up man, he could not go into Washington and make everybody follow God. Just like Terry Brock can't come in here this morning and make everybody follow God. We've all got to make that decision down in our own heart. I've got to wake up every morning and decide who will I serve, God or myself. So we can't put our trust in anybody in this world to help us get through it, because they'll fail us. I know there's been times where I've probably stepped away from God and failed somebody that was watching my life right at that moment. I don't know that, but it's very possible. Verse 4 says, His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. We can mean to do the best that we could possibly do for our fellow man, but when our time to go gets here, we're gone, and all them intentions are gone with us. Nobody else ain't going to pick up what we meant to do and carry on with it. But God's intentions have never changed, have never died, have never went anywhere. What God intended at the foundation of the earth is still God's intention today. It hasn't changed a bit. Anybody else have any thoughts up to this point? Verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God. If we're living for God the way we should, we can be happy in all things. This flesh might not stay happy very long, because there's always something going on that aggravates me. I don't know how everybody else is, but it don't take me very long after I get out of church on Sunday morning for something to aggravate me and I get upset about it. But if I stay where God wants me, I can put all that behind me and I can do what God wants me to do, and I'll be happy in my soul. It says, whose hope is in the Lord God, and here's the next verse is kind of sums it up, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. And it said, he keepeth truth forever. I thought about John 1:1, where he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the truth was right there. And the truth is still right there. It ain't never went nowhere. It ain't never went through no changes. It's the truth forever. We live in a world now that wants to make up their own truth, and they want to turn things around and change things around. And their excuse is, well, the Bible is outdated. It was written thousands and thousands of years ago. Times have changed since then. That's no good anymore. My truth is the God that inspired the writing of this book is still right where he was when he inspired it, and he still means every word of it, just like he did when it was written. And the people that can't see that are missing out. Verse 7 says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. By the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Or but the way of the wicked. I thought about when I was reading that and studying on that and trying to figure out what to do with all that. I thought about going back through the Bible and writing down all the places where God healed somebody, but I didn't have that much paper. I didn't have that much paper. Just when Jesus was here walking the earth, there's all kinds of stories about him healing people. He healed blind people. He healed deaf people. He healed dumb people. He healed lame people. But most importantly, he healed lost people. And I wrote down some stuff about all that. When I was thinking about it, I thought there was a time when I was in innocence. I was blind to the fact that I even needed God. I couldn't see any of it. But one day the gospel came, and I saw the church for what it was. I saw the church moving in the Spirit, and I knew there was something about it that I didn't have. God opened up my eyes and showed me that I needed something more. I've told my story before, but when I tried to get up off the bench and go to the altar, I couldn't get up. I don't know what caused it, but I couldn't get my legs to work. I couldn't get out of the seat. And in my heart, I came to a place where I said, God, I can't even get up and go to you without you doing it for me. And when I got to that realization, God healed my body, and my lame legs got me up and moved me to the altar. Now, I really don't remember moving to the altar. I just remember saying, God, if you don't give me the strength, I can't even get up. And the next thing I know, I was on the altar, and I was saved. He has always kept me, even though I haven't always tried to keep myself. There's been times in my life where I've went completely astray of what God thought I ought to do. Times where I thought I knew better than what God thought. And things don't work out real good like that. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat this morning. But he has always kept me, and I have always, when I've followed him, been able to find peace and happiness in anything this world has to offer. And it says, but the way of the wicked the Lord turneth upside down. Have you ever had somebody making fun of you for being a Christian or pushing your buttons just to see how far they can go before you break away from that Christian mold? Sometimes they'll try to get you to do something or say something that they can say, aha, you're not perfect. That don't take long for me, because I'm not perfect in the first place, even close. But the Lord, it says, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. If we stand on what God wants us to stand on, even when we're not perfect, if we're trusting in God and living for him day to day, those kind of people that are watching us day to day will realize that even though we might not be perfect in their eyes, there's something different. There's a little something there that God can reveal to them in his time that'll let them know that there's something here that the rest of the world don't fit that category. He'll turn their ways upside down, that's what it says. Verse 10 says, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Until this world melts from the fervent heat, God will be in charge. There's nothing else. There's no power. No power in heaven or on the earth or under the earth greater than God. Revelation says he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Here, see See where I... I wrote something down somewhere, now I can't find it. There it is. Revelations 22:13 in red letters says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he's not going anywhere until this whole thing's done. He'll be in all of it. Anybody got anything, any thoughts or anything?
May not be going good. The scriptures are telling us to just keep praising God. It's encouragement for us to just lean in through those tough times. You know, I don't think, and maybe I have, but I don't think I've ever just thrown up my hands and said, well, I'm going to quit when things were going real good.
Right.
But I have thought that a lot of times when things were going, in my opinion, bad. And so, but it's during those times that we can have the most impact if we lean into God rather than lean away from Him.
Yeah, even as a person that has been saved and tries to follow the Lord, some of the best help that I've ever had in my life was when somebody that I went to church with that I know personally was really having a hard time, and they'd stand up in church and say, I'm thankful that God's been so good to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes that testimony hit me like a ton of bricks, because here I am not going through near what they have been, and I'm sitting there thinking, where's God helping me at? But if we got the right mindset and the right heart, we can praise God in everything. Anybody else got anything?
Thank you.
take care of us. Anybody else got anything? Move on to Psalms 150. It's the last chapter in the book. And I don't know if it's relevant or not, but I read somewhere that the first book of Psalms had 6 verses, and the last book of Psalms has 6 verses. I didn't really put any time into studying the reason for that, but it's just something I picked up along the way. And I'll just say this verse, or this chapter, 6 verses, basically just about every verse of the 5 starts with praise him. And then it tells you with what to praise him. And the last verse says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But I kind of looked things up a little bit. And there's 7 times in the book of Psalms that it says to make a joyful noise to the Lord. In 7 different places it says that. If I look at it from my life's perspective, I believe in just in me, for me to make a joyful noise unto the Lord in any way, is to say and do what God tells me to say and do. I believe me following God is a joy for him. For me to praise him is a joy for him. For me to give him credit where it's due. I mean, everything in my life is due to what God's done for me. And for me to give him the credit that's due to him is a joyful noise to him. But go ahead and read this. Verse 1 in Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. I guess you could say this right here is his sanctuary. We try to keep it holy. I kind of look back to the description of the temple in the Old Testament. There was a sanctuary, basically. And then there was the Holy of Holies, which was behind the veil. And nobody was allowed in there because that was just designated for the high priest. He was the only one allowed in there. Then Jesus, when he came and died on the cross, that veil was rent in two. And that gave all of us access to the Holy of Holies. But we've got a duty, I guess I'll say it that way. We've got a duty to keep that an honorable place. I can't just go into the Holy of Holies and be a mess and leave things laying all over the place. And, you know, and I'm talking metaphorically now. I can't go out here in the world and do whatever I want to do and then, you know, stroll up into the holiest of holy places and say, hey, God, how you doing? Here I am. It just don't work like that. We've got to keep that sanctuary the way God wants it, or he's not going to be there when we start looking. We've got to praise God in his sanctuary. And then it says, praise him in the firmament of his power. When I first read that, my first thought was firmament, meaning heaven, or I'll say it this way, the space that's between here and heaven. When the rich man died and opened up his eyes in hell, he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and Abraham told him, I can't send him to you because there's a firmament fixed in the, there's a gulf fixed in the midst, and he can't go through that. We can't reach one another, basically. The firmament that we need to praise God in is here and now, between this life and going to heaven. If we don't do it in this life, once we get to that other, it's too late. Donnie Smith likes to quote, where a tree falls, that's where it'll lie. Because when this life is over, it's too late to change your mind. Verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Look this scripture up. Is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, and it's talking about Jesus. It says, God, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we are living for God, if we are praising Jesus the way we are supposed to, there you go. And then I'm kind of hoping that maybe somebody will have an opinion on these next few verses. But it says, verse 3 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, and praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. I'd say that probably pretty much encompasses every musical instrument they had in that day that that was written. I'll just ask if anybody's got any thoughts on that.
We set up a set of drums here, it might affect us for a service or two, because a lot of us aren't used to drums. But if we set it up here and it was done in the right spirit, it wouldn't hurt anything. It won't offend God's spirit. Now, it may offend our flesh. What the scripture's saying, I think, is we need to make sure that we're truly praising God with what we're doing. Not just making a big noise, but do it because of what we're praising, not how we're praising. So I think you're exactly right. I think he's counting every instrument that they've got. The organ, you know, the cymbals, stringed instruments. Everything we've got, we ought to give it to God. We ought to do it the best we can and try to give him glory and praise in that. And if we're at a church that's got drums or some instrument that we don't have, and they're truly putting their heart into it and trying to praise God, we ought to be able to join right in.
Said that because that makes it easier for me to say what I thought about when I was reading this and studying it. What I thought about was the verse that tells us to test the spirits. Even in our own church, sometimes it could happen that we could get to singing some songs that maybe, I guess for lack of a better way of explaining it, I'll say if I got up here and started singing a song that my Uncle Clifford used to sing that was real special to me, it might be easy for me to get in my own spirit and leave God out of it just because I might think about the past and I might be dwelling on the history of my life that went on that had that song involved in it. And then I'd get off in the wrong spirit and I could be weeping and looking like I'm really involved in God's spirit, but it's not God's spirit that I'm in. It's my own. That's why we've got to test the spirits. We can't just let anything fly. It's got to be God's spirit. But, like Blaine said, after saying that, we can go back and say, anything that God puts on your heart to do, if you do it with God's spirit the way he wants it done, it doesn't matter what kind of instrument you're using or how loud it gets, or I said here a couple weeks ago when I was teaching, Grandma Minnie didn't get to come to church very much, but when she did, I couldn't count the amount of times she'd come up that aisle shouting and dancing. To me, it looked like she was dancing, and she did it with the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, and that made it okay. Nothing wrong with it at all. Now, if we had people getting up here and just jumping around and hooting and hollering for some other spirit, that wouldn't quite be appropriate. But I guess what to me, this entire verse or chapter, to me is basically saying, no matter what kind of noise or anything else you're going to have involved in your life, do it to praise God with. Do whatever you're doing for his honor and glory. I was laying in bed the other day after I just got done studying some of this. I went and got in bed. And I was laying there. And next thing I know, the devil's on me. And he's telling me, you're never going to be as good as your dad at this stuff. He's the man. You're never going to be able to stand up to that. Might as well not try. And you know, I got to thinking, I started praying. And I started thinking, you know, if I go back in time in my life, you could go to probably just about any Baptist church in a 5 or 6 state radius and ask them if they knew Clifford Newport or Billy Ray Thompson, and they oh yeah, we know them guys. Yeah, we've heard them sing. We've been over and seen them sing. Or they've been over here and sung. There was a certain amount of notoriety because they had traveled around and sung. When I was younger, I'd ask people if they knew Carl Atkins, and a lot of times they'd say, well, I don't know him, but I've heard of him. I heard he's a real good Sunday school teacher. And I laid there in bed and I thought, God, if I could just do what you want me to do, it doesn't matter if people know my name or not. I don't need any notoriety out of any of it. As long as I can do what God wants me to do, and maybe I can help somebody along the way, that's the only thing that's important in this thing. Now, if somebody does know my name, I hope it's because they've heard a good report about me following the Lord. Not a good report about me being a good teacher or a good singer or any of that stuff. I want them to know my name because they've heard that I followed the Lord. That's the only thing, and that's the only important part of it. But everything we do, we need to do it for the glory of God. And the last verse says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Where was that one at? Revelations 5:13 says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You know, I don't know exactly how this world's going to come to an end. I know the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up in a moment, a twinkling of eye, and caught up in the air with them. But I've also read in Revelations where it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord God. Spiritually speaking, I've already knelt and confessed, and he saved my soul. So there will be no matter how this world ends and how things transpire on that last day, I'm not going to have to stand in line and wait to get into heaven until St. Peter checks my card to see where I stand. A lot of people want to look to that. Oh, there's going to be a big judgment day and there's going to be a line. Can you imagine the line? If you went to Cedar Point right now and got in line for a roller coaster, it seemed like you were standing there for days just because there was 100 people in that line. Can you imagine from the day of Adam until the day that this earth comes to an end, the line of people that would have to be judged? You'd never get into heaven. It'd just take eternity just to count them. But God's already got the counting done. Everyone that's going, there won't be no checkpoint at the gate. They already know my name, and they already know my face. I'll even go that far. When I leave here, the Bible says, I will know even as I am known. I will know everyone that goes to heaven. I said one time, I don't remember who I was talking to, I said, you know what would be really neat would be to be alive and remain when Jesus comes back and be standing at the graveside of Paul. Because when Paul gets up, man, what a glorious day. But I could say that about any of God's people. And the glory of it all is whether I'm standing beside one of you people's grave or getting up out of my own, I will know Paul by sight just as I'll know anybody else, because I'll know even as God knows. That's the glory of that day. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'll just finish with this. When we get our heart right and we do what God wants us to do, it's real easy to praise the Lord. like what Blaine said about that song, the God on the mountain, still God in the valley. Sometimes it's a little harder to praise God when you're down in the valley, but I have found that a lot of times that's where I need to praise God the most. And we can find things in the valley. I guess I like the analogy that